By a show of hands, how many of you come from a family where your father or your grandfather was an evangelist, a preacher, some profound person, a pastor in ministry? Just raise your hand if your father or your grandfather was a pastor, evangelist. And so for the great majority of us, thank you for putting your hands up, but for the great majority of us, we would say, no, my father, my grandfather wasn't. But stories like this just kind of energize me, because I can't say my father or my grandfather, attempted such feats as being an evangelist or whatever, but I can be a pioneer for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. I can be a pioneer for that. You can be a pioneer for that. Of someone who maybe you didn't pastor a church, but man, you saved souls. You went out and you preached the gospel. You didn't just keep the gospel inside, but you shared the gospel with others. And God gave you the opportunity of leading, you know, people to Christ. So let me just say this. How many of you who had fathers, grandfathers, mothers, grandmothers, who witnessed and actually shared the gospel and won people to Christ? Raise your hand. Thank you for raising your hand. For those of you that didn't, I want to encourage you that stories like this. I mean, I never heard of this guy. I'm like, I've never heard of him. I've heard of Joe Jackson, a baseball player. I've heard of, you know, of course, Babe Ruth. I mean, we've heard of all these people. But I mean, certain person like him, I've never heard of him before. But for his great-granddaughter to tell this story, I bet that was a very proud moment for her to share the story about her great-grandfather who did such a great thing. But I just want us to think about the fact of, you know, if we don't have a legacy that we can look back to of our ancestors and actually think of what great feat that they've done for God, man, then let us be the one that will carry the torch. Let us be the one that will be a trailblazer or a pioneer. Let us be the one that we're going in the direction that God wants us to go. And man, we have the torch of the living God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are actually making a path for others to follow. Anybody ever get lost in a path before? You got lost in the forest preserves, you got lost in the woods, whatever. And I'm not sure, but did any of you do what, you know, movies and cartoons actually show us? You drop popcorn or something so that you know where to go back? You know, probably you didn't. But if you've been lost, you know that, man, I wish I had the right direction. Of course, I didn't show this, but or have a slide for it, but there was a cartoon picture of a man and a woman, and the man's driving, and she mentions about how they saw that building, and she says, "You're lost, aren't you?" He says, "No, I just like going in circles." And so, but you know, certain guys don't like to admit that they're lost, but if we're going in the right direction, we know that there is a place that we need to go to, and if we are looking and listening to God, we will know that we are going in the right direction. Society today says that there are many directions that we are encouraged to follow, such as how to live for yourself, how to be the best you, how to get to heaven. A lot of people have different ideas or ways of how to get to heaven. Buddha is one, and Hare Krishna is another, and you know what? Just be true to yourself. That's another one. How to live healthy, how to live successfully healthy. And there's lots of directions of how we are to follow, and we're encouraged to follow to achieve that success, how to achieve a healthy lifestyle, how to achieve nirvana or heaven, how to achieve the best life that you can live. But the question is which one is correct? Which one is correct? Which direction should you follow? Which direction should I follow? Point number one, go in the right direction. See, society says, what seems right to you? Well, Pastor, I'm going to go in the right direction because what seems right for me, that's the best way. You direct your own life. I am the master of my own life. I have the steering wheel. I will direct my life where I need to go. But the problem is, I find two scriptures in Proverbs. Maybe you can find some other ones that I didn't locate. locate, but Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 14:12. Guess what Proverbs 16:25 says? Anybody guess? It's the exact same thing. Let's go to Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. In two places, and of course, God doesn't, you know, mess around, and God just doesn't have scriptures just to have another scripture. Wasn't like God had a verse 24 and then there was a verse 26 and then it was like the writers are like, well, God didn't tell us what to write for verse 25. Hey, let's just get it from Proverbs 14 and we'll just, you know, fit it in right there because it fits perfectly. No, God is trying to tell us there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Why is it the way of death? Because what seems right to you doesn't mean that it is right. What seems right to God, that is right. Why? Because God knows best. There's a TV show, Father Knows Best. God knows best. Another thing that society says is to live by your heart. Live from your heart. Be led by your heart. Go with your heart. Well, I found another problem. Jeremiah, who's a prophet of God, he says, I think it was, I didn't write it down. Proverbs, I think it's 27:9. I wrote down the verse 9 and 10, but I believe it's 27:9. Let me make sure. Jeremiah 27:9. There you go. 27:9. Let's see. No. I wrote down the verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Oh, don't like when I do that. Anyway, I'll find it later. But Proverbs or Jeremiah verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Shannon, maybe you can help me out when you're 17:9. Thank you. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, the answer is in verse 10. Let's go to verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I, the Lord, test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. God knows our hearts. God knows God knows how to test us. God knows the truth. The problem about these directions is that if God isn't first, and if God is not entirely, if our life is not entirely directed by him, they all end up at a dead end. Slide one. Anybody ever make the wrong turn and you hit a dead end? If there's room on that street, you're able to pull a 3-point turn and get out of that dead end. If there isn't, you got to put that joker in reverse and go all the way back. But a dead end, what does a dead man, what does a dead end mean? No through traffic. You're only going to go a certain distance and then that's it. You can't go anymore. I found this other slide. Go to the next one. The road to Scientology is a dead end street, and the building right past that fence is the building for Scientology. So it is true. It's a dead end street. There are many different ways people say how to get to heaven, how to get to a righteous place. They used to call it, you know, Nirvana. It was a place to get to where there's peace, and getting there, it's dead end. It will lead you to nowhere. It'll lead you to a dead end street where you can't go anymore. There is something that will be in front of you in the middle of the road that will be an obstruction that your vehicle can no longer go. Back in the 80s, there was a song, Our House is in the Middle of the Street. I mean, it was a dead end road. You can't go anymore unless you hit a curb or unless you go off the road and off the cliff. There is a dead end. You can't go any farther. And when we live a life that God is not first, or that our life is not entirely directed by God, we end up in a place that is a dead end. No through traffic. Street stops. Got to make a U-turn. Put it in reverse. My next point is, therefore we need to go and go by faith in Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have to remind ourselves that the direction that we're headed with God, it's not because of the fact that, like Shannon mentioned this morning, because we came to God. We don't go to God. God calls us and then we come to Him. But the fact that we're on this direction, we're on this path, this best path for our life, it's not because we know more scripture or that we've read through the Bible or that we attend church or that our name is on the members' roll. It's not because of that, but it's because of God and who He is. He allows us to have this faith. He allows us to be called. He allows us to know about His Son and the truth that we find in His Son so we can have eternal life through Him, through Jesus Christ. Verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. It was spoken about this morning about going through situations that are difficult in our life. Going through that, man, it produces perseverance. It produces patience in us. Perseverance, and then it produces character. And then our character is changed or altered for the better, and we find hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Our faith must be in something or someone. So while we're walking on this path, while we're walking on in this life, in the direction that God wants to create, our faith must be in someone, in God. Our faith must be in something, His word, His truth, that He will lead us to where He wants us to go. Slide 3. Even nomads, a group of people, they're not stationary. They're always moving. Even nomads have to have faith. Nomads, in the dictionary, it says it's a member or a group of people having no permanent abode or housing who travel from place to place to find pasture for their livestock, to find the next place where they're going to live for a little while. It's an important characteristic or trait for nomads to have, that they be flexible. That they be flexible. That they adapt to the situations at hand. You adapt and overcome. But the fact that these nomads, they even have to have faith. And what's the faith? That they will find their next place of habitation and that that place will be worth habiting. That's the reason why they left where they were before. And so when they leave, they go to a place where they're going to find pasture, where they're going to find water, where they're going to find food, a place where they'll be able to have it. And so even nomads need to have faith. People that are not stationary or fixed, they're not a part of a company. They live in that little a town or city, but they get up and they move. There's still even nomads. They may not look like that today, but there are nomads that are still roaming around the United States. They don't have a place. They just have a camper and they just go from one place to another. They don't have a bank account. They're not stationary. They don't even have a post office box. They just go from one place to another. But we are not just ordinary people. Even though we may not be like nomads, but you know, we have a house, we have a place where we live, we have a post office box or a mailbox. We are not just ordinary people, not anymore at least. We are a peculiar people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation." Again, we didn't choose God, God chose us. As a matter of fact, what's cool is that God chose the Israelites, but because of His love and His plan, we're able to be grafted into the family of God. That me as a Mexican, I'm not Jewish, but me as a Mexican, I get to be a part of the family of God. I get to be a part where I can say Jesus is my brother and that I'm going to inherit the kingdom of God along with Jesus. So we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You know, one of the things about the story of Major Taylor that really was encouraging to me, because we are going to face difficulties in our life. This guy, he faced difficulty every time he was on that track. And like the gentleman that said, it had been 30, 40 years just you know, prior that they abolished slavery. And this is in the 1800s. And he is going to commit to go on this track. Every time he goes on this track, there are people that don't want him on there. And he just is pursuing this goal to finish. And I like that. You know, I guess it was his quote, but it says, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And just think of your great, 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 just think of the children you're going to have, the great, the grandchildren, the great, great, great grandchildren, that they'll be able to hear a story about you. And how it's not about how you started, it's how you finished. How you finished and you got to where God wants you to be, because you made it clear that you were going to follow the direction that God has for you. Why? Because he knows best. And you lived a life where you weren't dictated by society telling us how to live, that we need to, oh, well, this is another way to get to heaven. This is how to live successfully. This is how to live for yourself. No, you went in the right direction because God knows best. And you went by faith because your faith in Jesus Christ, having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, not the peace that the world gives. We are all learning now the peace that Christ gives us, the peace that we find in God's word, knowing that God's word is true. We could take it to the bank. And so that's why when we go in this direction, we go in faith. Faith that it is God who is directing us. Faith that it is God who is dictating our lives. Let's go to Genesis 12. Let's consider God's direction to Abram. Now, I wanted to talk about Jonah. Then I thought, Lord, I'd like to share the story about, Jehoshaphat. I'd like to show the story about Joshua. But Lord led me to this, you know, the story of how God gave direction and instruction to Abram. Genesis 12, verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said to Abram. Now, again, this is the same guy that's going to be Abraham, but right now it's Abram. So the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country. Get out of your country, from your family, so therefore saying, leave your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. When God shows us things, or he leads us to certain places, Shannon even brushed a little bit on it this morning, we don't have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps, do we? And God ever lead you to go somewhere or do something? Has he ever given you? It would have been very helpful if he gave you the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps. But a lot of times he doesn't. And so it says, to a land that I will show you. Verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. And in you, I like this, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And I was like, Lord, you were just kind of throwing some hints at the kind of person he was going to be. Because later on, he finds out that God says, I'll give you as many children as the stars in the sky. And so God was just giving him a hint here. And in you, Abram, all the families of the earth, not just a few, but all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And it was discussed this morning, not maybe, but shall be, meaning it, they will be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree. And so I kind of stopped there because I was like, well, where did Canaan come from? And maybe there was a conversation that wasn't in scripture, because it says, to a land that I will show you. Maybe God showed Abraham that the land was going to be Canaan, but we didn't actually read it in scripture that the Lord said, Abram, go to Canaan. But we do find that he does go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Morah. And the Canaanites were in there that were then in the land. Verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. Great instruction, great direction. Abram, you're going in the right direction because this land I will give to your children. I will give to your descendants this land. And so there, what did Abram do? It says there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. He built an altar to the Lord. That's a place where he's going to recognize God spoke to me here. God said something to me here. I'm going to build an altar and there might be a sacrifice, but this is a place where I will honor God because God spoke to me and God directed and I'm going to follow. And so he honored God in that with that altar. A lot of times we need to start building some altars where God speaks to us. And because sometimes when God speaks to us and we build an altar, something's got to die. Something's got to be given up. So we got to find somehow, some way that we're going to honor God, that God, you spoke to me. Something needs to be done away with. Something needs to be let go with. And so, God, I'm going to build this altar. And in your honor, Lord, I will build it for you. And I will sacrifice something on this altar. And so he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him, and he moved from there. So he didn't stay there, and he moved from there. So he's still being directed by God, and he's still going. He moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called in the name of the Lord. So he built another altar and he called upon the name of the Lord. Verse 9. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. My last point is, when God is directing us, we don't stop. We keep going. We keep going where God wants to direct, where God's wanting us. Believe you me, I, just to be honest with you, back in 2004, 2005, I really wanted to leave Camden County. I just wanted to go back to Chicago. I wanted to just go. I was just done with the area. Not the church, but I just missed my family. I wanted to go back with my family. I wanted to go back and see, Lord, would you use me to win my old friends and lead them to the Lord? What a great testimony. I just want to go back. And then one trip, we went to Chicago. Met with some of my friends. We had some home run in pizza, not the box kind. It was fresh home run in pizza, delicious. We went and we ate and talked. And I was just looking for opportunities to just talk about how we're in youth ministry. And then as we left the parking lot, I remember this clearly. We took a left turn onto the road. And as we were driving away, I just began to just weep. And it was like God said, snip, just cut any ties that I had with Chicago. I'm not calling you. I'm not bringing you back here. And I just began to weep. And then I remembered the story of how the Israelites wanted a king, wanted a king, wanted a king. And God says, okay, you're going to get a king. And so then from that moment on, I stopped praying. God, I will wait, because what I would pray would be this: God, I'm waiting on you to give me a confirmation. Give us confirmation. We're out of here. I'm headed to Chicago. Just give me confirmation. On that day, it was over. I stopped praying and asking God for confirmation. Can I go to Chicago? Can I go back home to my family? Can I leave? So here, Abram just doesn't stop in the land of Canaan when God says, to your descendants, I will give you this land. Do you know how exciting that would be? You know, as a father, for God to speak to me and say, your descendants, this land, King's land, I will give this land to your children, to your descendants. I don't want to leave. I want to be a part of all those things. I want to be a part of that. But that's not what Abraham did. He didn't stay there. I believe it was because God was still telling him, this is not where I want you to stay. I want you to keep going. So he kept going. My last point was the fact that don't stop. Go. Still keep going where God is directing and leading you. And so it's interesting that as God directed Abraham to leave his family and his country to a land that he never knew about, God didn't say, I'm going to set you up with a nice job. I'm going to set you up with a nice house overlooking the river or the ocean. God didn't tell him any of those things. Again, God doesn't tell us the specifics. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He just says, go. And we have to go. But here, when Abram was at a great place where he can just, you know what, set up camp, and I'm just going to stay here because God said he's going to give this land to my children and my great-grandchildren, and so my descendants are going to own this land. He didn't stay there. He kept going. Bethel was on the west, Ai was on the east, and he built another altar there to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. Again, going back to Romans chapter 5, we're going to go through some tribulation, we're going to go through some difficulty in life. But those things are going to produce some great things in us. I was meeting with someone yesterday, and I was sharing this scripture and how the Lord was leading me to preach this today. And I was sharing, and we were discussing about the difficulties that we all go through. But those difficulties are needed so that it could produce something in us. It could produce where we cling on to God even more so, where we hold on to his word even more, because we are trusting in what he's saying, even in the midst of our tribulation. I mean, I'm not sure how many of you count it all joy when you go through trials and difficulties in life. But that's what we got to do, because it's producing in us something that we will not stop, but that we'll keep going. That the direction that God is leading us, something in that direction, something along the line, is not going to stop us, but we will continue to we'll continue to go forward in the direction that God wants us to go. Go to the next slide. I think the next three slides. God instructs us if we will listen. If we will listen. God will, we will receive his instruction. If we are listening, we discover that Abram learns to listen and believe. Then all of a sudden his name turns from Abram to Abraham. It's because he listened to what God said and he believed. And it says that it was accounted to him for righteousness. Why? Because he just listened? No, because he listened and he believed. God provides for us. Next slide. God provides for us if we follow. Moses leads Israel into the wilderness. And even though, because they're not perfect, just like none of us are perfect, in the times of some disobedience, yet through their obedience to God and God's abundant mercy, God still provides for them manna. God still provides for them quail. God still provides for them protection. God still brings the Holy Spirit to lead them by a pillar during the day, and a pillar fire by night, and a cloud by day. God still provides for them. If we will follow, God will show his provision. And lastly, God goes with and before us as we obey. A great example of this is Jesus' disciples. And my last scripture is Acts chapter 5, verse 23. God goes with us and before us as we obey. While we're on this trek, while we're on this journey, our true north, he remains steadfast. He remains who he's always been. And we, as we listen, we, as we follow, we, as we obey his instructions, man, we'll never be alone. He'll always be with us. We'll always be with him, as a matter of fact. And so Acts chapter 5. 4:23. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John found the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. Then all the believers were united as they lifted their voices in prayer. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestors, King David, your servant, saying, why did the nations rage? Why do the people waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. This is what has happened here in this city. They're still praying. Lord, this is what happened here in this city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. In fact, everything they did occurred according to your eternal will and plan. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give your servants great boldness in their preaching. They didn't say, Lord, we give up, we're going home. Lord, we give up and we're going to go back to our homeland. Lord, we're going to
give up and go back to our occupation and do what we always do, or to do what we used to do. And now, O Lord, hear the threats and give your servants great boldness in their preaching. Send your healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the building where they were meeting shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached God's message with boldness. Listen, I don't know every single thing that God is going to do. I don't know the details of how God is going to use hidden treasures in Camden County. But one thing's for sure. What started it back in 1989 is God is still leading us in the right direction. The thing is, will we learn to listen for His voice and keep following? Will we actually listen and in faith follow Him? Will we listen and will we follow and will we obey His instructions? Because there are many more people, there are many more things that need to get done here in Camden County, and here we are. Sunday night, hidden treasures assembly. It's not a time for us to stop. It's not a time for us to say, hey, I'm just not going to do it anymore. Hey, I'm just going to, step back away from certain things. It's not a time for us to step away from ministry for a little bit. It's not a time for us, especially what's going on in this world today. It's not a time for us to stop. It's a time for us to keep going in the direction that God wants us to go. I would like to know the actual details. I would like to know the actual subdivisions that we're going to reach with the love of God, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and with the acts of service that we're going to do. I would like to know. But God doesn't give us those details. We just have to learn to listen, follow, and obey. And when we do that, He's going to be with us, and He's going to go before us, and He's going to provide, and He will show us what He has for us. Be encouraged by that story of Major Taylor. It's not how you started, it's how you finished. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You, God. Lord, I wasn't even here back in 1989 when You started. But when You started with hidden treasures, was going to be here at Camden County. But Lord, I am thankful and grateful that You called me to be a part of this family, to be a part of this church, to be a part of Your work here through hidden treasures. And God, I pray that none of us would step to the side and just call it quits, or Lord, that none of us would step to the side and say, I'm done, I'm not doing it anymore. But God, that we'll continue to trek on this journey with You, and You with us, and we with You, Father, that we would be obedient, Lord, to Your call. We would be obedient to what You would desire for us to be and to do here in Camden County. Father, we thank You, Lord, that hidden treasures is. We thank You, Father, Lord, that You are leading us and guiding us, Father. We thank You for the souls that will be touched and impacted through every member of Hidden Treasure, through every ministry of Hidden Treasure, through every avenue, Lord, of ministry here. We thank You, Father. To You be all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name. Bless You.